Hare Krishna. Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita. This is chapter 1, Observing the Armies, text 31. Arjuna continues to see only a disaster in every way if he were to continue and fight. Arjuna said, I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle. Nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. My comment. Verses 31 through 35 describe Arjuna's second reason not to fight. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains Arjuna's thinking as follows. I will win the battle, but I will suffer greatly. Those I kill will be elevated to the sun planet, but no good reaction will come to me. Arjuna continues to explain the intolerable results he envisions. 32 to 35. O Govinda, of what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself on all those for whom we may desire them, are now arrayed on this battlefield. O Madhusudana, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, fathers-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them, even though they might otherwise kill me? O maintainer of all living entities, I am not prepared to fight with them, even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. What pleasure will we derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? Comment. Arjuna calls Krishna Janardana, the maintainer of all living entities. He wonders how Krishna, everyone's maintainer, can be desiring everyone's death. The word Janardana has another meaning. Jana means person, and Ardana means killer. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan explains that Arjuna calls Krishna Janardana to suggest, O Janardana, if they need to be killed, then you, who are the remover of the earth's burden, should kill them. There won't be any trace of sinful reaction for you, the Supreme Controller. In this way, Arjuna hopes to remain free from sinful reaction. The Pandavas, of course, won the battle and took the throne, yet they remained in power for only 37 years. Arjuna's conviction is that brief kingly pleasures are not worth the sinful reaction of suffering in hell for millions of years because of killing friends, guru, grandfathers, cousins, and other relatives. Arjuna concludes that planning for enjoyment while overlooking future suffering is foolish. He continues this reasoning in verse 36. Sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Therefore, it is not proper for us to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and our friends. What should we gain, O Krishna, husband of the goddess of fortune? And how could we be happy by killing our own kinsmen? Comment. Arjuna calls Krishna Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Arjuna, according to Srila Baladeva Vidyabhusan, thus asks Krishna, O Madhava, why are you, the husband of the goddess of fortune, engaging me in this unfortunate battle? Arjuna says, sin will overcome us if we slay such aggressors. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport that according to Vedic injunction, no sin occurs if one kills an aggressor. He then lists six types of aggressors. 1, a poison giver. 2, an arsonist. 3, one who attacks with deadly weapons. 4, a thief. 5, one who occupies another's land. And 6, one who kidnaps another's wife. The Pandavas suffered each of these forms of aggression at the hands of the Kauravas, who were now poised to attack. Duryodhana had fed Bhishma. Duryodhana had fed Bhima a poisoned cake. He arranged for a house of lac to be built for the Pandavas and conspired to have it set ablaze while they slept. Shakuni cheated in a dice game and plundered all their wealth. The Kauravas then occupied the Pandavas' land. Finally, they stole Draupadi by foul means, once during the dice game and once when Jayadratha attempted to kidnap her. Arthashastra allows that such aggressors be killed. Why then does Arjuna say sin will overcome him by killing them? According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Arjuna is speaking from the level of Dharma Shastra, not Arthashastra. Dharma Shastra, which is more authoritative, propounds that killing one's friends and relatives is never permitted. 37 to 38. O Janardana, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarreling with friends, why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these sinful acts? Comment. Arjuna fears the ensuing horror of two powerful dynasties fighting and destroying each other. This is Arjuna's third reason not to fight. Kshatriya spirit engendered family pride. Kshatriyas upheld the pious family traditions and passed them on to future generations. What would happen if all the Kshatriyas were killed? The entire society was dependent on the authority of Vedic kings. Would fall into disarray. No sacrifices would be performed for the forefathers or future generations. Young men would become unrestrained, frivolous, and impure. Vanquishing a powerful royal dynasty would in fact make the future of the entire world dim and bring unlimited misfortune. Arjuna understood all this. 39. With the destruction of dynasty, the eternal family tradition is vanquished, and thus the rest of the family becomes involved in irreligion. Comment. Arjuna fears that if he were to engage in the irreligious killing of his grandfather and guru, the women of the family would think, "Our men have become irreligious. Let us also act irreligiously." Arjuna continues, when irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vishnu, comes unwanted progeny. Comment. Krishna called Arjuna Partha to remind him of his Kshatriya heritage. In this verse, Arjuna calls Krishna Varshneya, descendant of Vishnu, because he wants Krishna to think, how would he feel if the Vrishni dynasty were on the verge of destruction? 41. An increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life, both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt family falls down because the performance for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. Comment. We can further support Arjuna's argument by saying, even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to Gaya to offer the Shraddha ceremony for his departed father. Can such sacrifices be considered unimportant? Ancestors depend on those ceremonies to attain freedom from suffering. If the offerings to the forefathers are stopped, generations of family members will remain in hell. Again, Arjuna was primarily considering his own sinful reaction by becoming a party to stopping those offerings. Srila Prabhupada in his purport answers Arjuna's doubt. Devarshi mutapta nrinam pitrinam Nakinkaranayam Rene Charajan Savatmanaya Sharanam Saranyam Kato Mukundam Puritya Kartam. Anyone who has taken shelter of the two lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligations, and has taken to the path in all seriousness, owes neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind, or forefathers. That's from the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th verse, 45th chapter, 41st verse. Such obligations are automatically fulfilled by performance of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of God. Okay, Hare Krishna. We shall end here. Hare Krishna.